If you want to stay in for the long haul and lead a life that is free from illusions either propagated by you or embraced by you, then I suggest you learn to recognize and avoid the symptoms of the zealot and the person who knows he's right. For the dissenter, the skeptical mentality is at least as important as any armor of principle. And this week's opening quote comes from Christopher Hitchens. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, ever since I began this quest of speaking out, coming to you and speaking on the radio show and making the films and doing all the things that I do, something that I've attempted to stress from the beginning is an understanding that this journey that we are on, this whole mission we are on to free mankind from the clutches of this cacistocracy, from this slavery system that we're all subject to, this entire quest is ultimately a spiritual battle more than anything else. And all the people that are looking for solutions or looking for the way out of this system, looking for the way out of this mess that we're in, all the people that keep demanding someone supply them with an answer, they need to look a little deeper and realize that they are the answer and that they're not seeing this because they're very often missing that basic understanding, that basic knowledge that this is a spiritual battle more than anything. And it's due to the failure of people, generally speaking, the failure of mankind in general to step into our spiritual power that has caused these problems and that allows these problems to persist. And if you really want to find a way out of the system, that is the first thing you need to do, is to readjust your spiritual perspective. And essentially what I mean is you need to readjust your perspective of what you are and what your relationship to this earth is, what your relationship to government, to the people around you is, and realize that what we're facing here is a spiritual battle. It's the spiritual oppression that people have been subject to that has kept them cowed, kept them in fear, kept them in fear of standing up for who and what they are, or stepping into who and what they are, even ever realizing the power that they have. Many people see this power within them. Many people know that there is a power that is dormant within them, but they're very often afraid to step into that power because of this lack of spiritual understanding that they have. And it isn't that they can be blamed for this lack of spiritual understanding. It's what this society has done to people. This society doesn't present any of these concepts to anybody. And in fact, it goes out of its way to make sure these sorts of understandings are covered up and viewed as something terribly new age or something esoteric, something like fairies in the garden that just shouldn't be paid attention to, magic and all that sort of stuff. Nothing practical that we ever need to know, just spiritual mumbo-jumbo fed to you by people who won't face reality. That's the type of mentality that's put into people through the education and social systems, and many people are too afraid to even have or express any spiritual thoughts because of what other people may think of them for even having them. And really, it is the suppression of this spiritual power and the suppression of these spiritual thoughts and the suppression of these methods of higher thinking that keeps us where we are. Because when you adopt these perspectives and you really see yourself for what you are and you lose stake in the outcome of your actions, then all fear falls away from you. And in light of what we're facing as a species, there comes a point where you simply have to stand up against the system and you realize how easy it actually is for you to do so. But of course, in saying this, I'm not suggesting that you suddenly go out and give up your job and become an activist and think that everything's going to work for you. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, this has been the path that I've been on for a long time simply because I woke up when I was a very, very young child. I woke up at a very, very early age. And my life has been kind of an interesting mishmash of circumstance, really. I always knew there was something terribly wrong with the world. When I was 4 years old and my parents told me we had to buy land, it came as a real shock to me, and I couldn't understand why other people didn't view it with the amazement that I viewed it with. The very concept that we could own land and the very concept that we would have to pay to live somewhere and just to have a roof over our heads and somewhere to put that roof. It just didn't make any sense to me at all. I seriously thought that I'd been born onto the wrong world. And since then, all I've really done is try to walk the path that was true to me And I think that's what a lot of people do. They try to find that path. And all through my life, I struggled to make any sense of anything, really, right through my childhood, right through my young adult years. This is why I basically got a job as a musician, because I just couldn't figure society out at all. I just didn't fit in with society. None of it made any sense to me at all. And if I couldn't do something that I love to do, then I couldn't see the point of even being here. I love to play music, and so that's what I did. And fortunately, I was able to make a living out of it. And fortunately, I was also able to live on the outside of society by doing so and basically go through life as an observer, which was very interesting. But many people have a great deal of difficulty finding their true path in life. I was very lucky that I kind of fell into mine. Not that being a musician was my true path. I mean, that was just something that I managed to do to get by. Really, my true path is the path that I'm on now. Things have never really been clearer for me in my mind. Things have never really flowed for me the way they have since I stepped onto the path that I'm on now. But it's not the sort of path that comes lightly. And it isn't really a path that comes by choice. Doing what I do was never something that I planned to do. It's just something that kind of happened. And really the main thing that led me here was losing all stake in the outcome of my actions, all stake in the outcome of my life. You know, seeing the truth in front of my face and seeing what I saw before me, knowing the things that I know, and not speaking about it, out of what reason? Why would you not want to speak about all this sort of stuff when you see all of this stuff and you can see what's going on? And I've been doing it for years and years, kind of observing all of this. And it was a hobby of mine for many, many years. But it gets to the point where you have to say something. And the question is, why not? Why would you be afraid to speak out? It's only because you have a stake in the outcome. You have a stake in the outcome of your life and you don't have the confidence really in what you're saying. You know, many people don't speak out because they simply don't have the inner confidence in what they're saying. It isn't that they don't have inner confidence in themselves. It's that they don't have the real confidence in what they're saying. Because if they did, they'd be able to speak it. And that may be a strange way to look at it for some people. I mean, and I know some people just really don't like public speaking. They don't like to put their face out there. They don't like to put their voice out there. But it isn't just public speaking. I mean, you can talk to your friends and all that sort of stuff. But many people are afraid of peer group pressure. They're afraid of what people may think about them. They have a stake in the outcome. And I'm not suggesting that people simply become activists or anything. I'm just pointing out a possibility as to why people don't speak about their surroundings a little bit more than what they do. And, you know, it is quite understandable in many ways because it's an interesting life, the life of the dissenter. It's not really a path that people choose. It's certainly not a good career choice. Trust me on that one. But there comes a time when you just see the system in your face so much and it becomes such an affront to what it means to be human that you can't just continue on living your life in some sort of a lie. And so it becomes a choice that many people are simply forced to make just to remain true to themselves. But it's a path that is fraught with pitfalls. It's a path that really tends to put you on the outside of society. And it also is a path that opens you up to much abuse from other people, to much judgment from other people. As soon as you put your voice out there, folks, you can be sure that someone's going to try to hack you down. You get one little thing wrong, make one mistake, say one word out of place, someone will use it against you. They always do. That's just the nature of the beast. Or even if you get every word in place and someone simply disagrees you on some small detail of what you said, they'll still try to use it against you. They'll make all sorts of accusations against you and attempt to turn people against you. It's just the way things go. So it's certainly not the most relaxing path to choose, and you certainly need thick skin to stay on the path for any length of time. And that's just for those who write to me who are thinking about choosing the path of activism. But really, I mean, it's not even a path that I chose. As I said, it's not something I ever planned to do. And what I do, I don't even really consider it to be activism. I mean, really, all I'm doing is being true to myself. I'm simply observing what I see before me and speaking about what I see before me, offering a perspective on it. You know, I wouldn't really call this activism. I mean, and sure, I mean, I'm active and I do things, and I suppose a lot of people would call me an activist, but as I said, it's more of a natural life path for me than what I would term activism. It's simply something that I do by default because it needs to be done. Perhaps it's a form of non-compliance. I mean, I've never complied with the system, And I've urged others not to comply with the system. But again, in order for them to do this, they first need to adopt these spiritual understandings about themselves. Because when you have this correct spiritual perspective about yourself and about your relationship to reality, well, non-compliance comes by default. It really does. You know, you begin to realize that the only thing that holds the system up is our willingness to comply with all of this rubbish that is given to us. And we simply don't need to. But we just do, and we never question it. But we should. For example, recently there was an audit of the Australian federal legal system, and what they found that there are 307 federal laws that have been enacted, which all fundamentally violate human rights in Australia. Think about that, folks. These are called law by the federal government, and yet they all violate fundamental human rights. And people just see this, but they don't do anything about it. What needs to happen is the Australian people need to stand up and find out who enacted these laws and have these politicians charged with abuse of office, because that's what they've done. They've abused the office that they hold to give themselves powers that they don't have and enact laws which are not legal and cannot be called law. They're simply the colour of law. You know, but people won't address that again unless they have this correct spiritual understanding, because they'll be in fear of doing so. They won't question their slave masters. They'll simply do what they're told. But if you can gain a correct spiritual perspective, you soon see that these rulers are not anyone who controls you. They're simply people who are employed by you, and they only get away with what they do because we never question their actions. And all you really have to do is stand up and do that. The problem, of course, is that if you stand up on your own, very often you get knocked on the head and you get vilified by the powers that believe they be, which is why you need the support of the community around you, which is why you need to learn to respect each other. And again, this has been a message that I've been bringing right since the beginning of the show. You know, the desperate need for us to put common unity back in community, put aside all of our differences, don't worry what anybody else believes, and realize that we are all in this together. And if we stand together and address the criminals that are running this world into the ground and controlling our societies and running us into the ground at the same time, we can heal things very quickly, very, very effectively and very quickly. And we can do it without squabbling with each other, because if you've got this correct spiritual understanding, you're not going to be squabbling with people anyway. You're not going to be trolling the internet, accusing people of being shills because they disagree with you. You're going to be looking at the system and putting your energy there, putting your energy into uniting and respecting the people around you, so you can all stand up in a massive wave of non-compliance together, because that's what we need to do. Simply stop complying with our own enslavement. It's really that simple, folks. In fact, it's so simple that people just can't see the forest for the trees. You know, unfortunately, there's too many people that are still waiting to be saved rather than standing up and doing something for themselves. And there's certainly a lot going on in the world at the moment, and many people are claiming that all of this is related. I mean, we've got reports of George Soros apparently liquidating assets, whether that's true or not. It's an interesting report. And I'm hearing people saying that certain people have got to wear GPS trackers. How true that is, who knows? Rumors of asset forfeiture. We've obviously got lots of celebrities and media figures stepping down. We've got the German government in massive disarray at the moment. There's reports of the US military and CIA are to be investigated for war crimes and crimes against humanity. How true that is. It's very difficult to get any information regarding any of these things, but they're all coming out and being presented to us as something very important and something that's all related. Whether they are, again, is another question. And I'm hearing all sorts of talk at the moment about all of this stuff that's apparently going on behind the scenes, hundreds of indictments and people being arrested and CIA headquarters in Langley being raided by the military and all sorts of stuff like this, but I can't find anything to back up any of these reports. I'm seeing a lot of people saying this is also related to the big purge that's happened in Saudi Arabia, but I don't think so. I think the purge in Saudi Arabia is related to what just happened in Las Vegas, and I don't think Prince Mohammed Salman is any friend of anyone. In fact, I think he's quite incompetent. Again, I'm hearing indictments are being launched against Hillary Clinton, and yet I get reports on Hillary Clinton every day, and I see that she's off doing her book tour and doing speaking dates to record attendances, and I'm not seeing anything to support this undermining of the power structure, this arresting of the deep state as it's being presented. This whole concept of the deep state is something that's been very much promoted in the last year or two as well. I mean, sure, there is a deep state. I mean, and what is the deep state? The deep state is simply the apparatus that exists behind the visible workings of government. But essentially, the deep state is just that. It's the inner workings, the covert hidden workings of the state. And when it all comes down to it, the deep state is the state. It's the same thing. The deep state isn't the problem. The problem is the state itself. The deep state is simply something that describes, as I said, the hidden workings of the apparatus. But it's still the same apparatus. The deep state couldn't exist without the state to cloak its workings. And for all the good that Trump is apparently doing, I mean, when it all comes down to it, he's still supporting the state of Israel. He's still a Zionist. His daughter is married to a Zionist. He's supporting the Zionist state. So with anything that he's doing, this seems to be the underlying theme anyway. So nothing is really changing. I mean, with all the talk of indictments and arrests and pedophiles being arrested and the deep state being brought down, I'm still seeing militarized police wearing black Kevlar in every country. I'm still seeing chemtrails in the sky. I'm still hearing posturing against Iran and against Russia. I'm still seeing posturing against North Korea. I'm still seeing Israel and Saudi Arabia getting together and attempting to attack Iran. I'm still seeing Saudi Arabia and Israel wanting to attack Lebanon and bring down Hezbollah. I'm still seeing this new Chinese Silk Road rolling out, and I'm not seeing any real change to the system at all. But I am seeing a lot of people sitting on the sidelines chewing bags of popcorn waiting for something big to happen because, as always, it's being presented as change being imminent. It's always imminent, folks, but it never really comes. It's just always imminent. But even if it is imminent, even if there is big change on the horizon, even if the entire deep state is about to be arrested and all these indictments are true and Hillary Clinton's about to go down and all this stuff's about to happen, even if all of the politicians are about to be scooped up and put on Christmas Island and left there to work out their differences themselves, there's nothing to stop you getting involved yourself now anyway. There's nothing to prevent you still gaining these basic spiritual understandings you need to find your true path through life. There really isn't. There's nothing to stop you gaining these perspectives. There's nothing to stop you applying yourself to the situation that you're in anyway, regardless of what change comes or doesn't come. Because the thing is, if it doesn't come, if it isn't imminent, if it's just a one big smokescreen the way it always has been, and it's up to us to make the change ourselves, well, there's nothing to prevent you from making those changes to your own life now. And like I said, the first change you need to make is to adopt a correct spiritual perspective of what you are. And to realize the power that you have for change, to implement change in your life, and to put down all stake in the outcome, put down all fear of this existence and realize that it's about the journey and what you do with the journey. And there's nothing to prevent you from taking care of your own health now, of eating good food and doing some cleansing. The incredible results I've just had from the Cambo sessions I've done here in Hawaii, folks, I'd like to mention as well. I've just served Cambo to 19 people here in the last 2 weeks in Hawaii, and I've seen some absolutely remarkable results with people. Some real cleansing, some real lifting of emotional burdens and emotional barriers and blockages. People gaining a real vitality and new lease on life. It's absolutely wonderful to see the healing that has come to some of the people that have attended these Cambo ceremonies, and there's nothing to prevent you from doing something like that as well. You know, just taking care of your health, eating good food, doing a little bit of exercise, doing a bit of meditation, a bit of yoga, whatever. Whatever it is that's going to balance you and give you that inner strength you need to stand up strong in the face of this world. Because this world can't hurt you once you have that inner strength, and it's so important for people to realize the potential that all lies within each of them. Because it's there, it's in everybody, it's in all of you out there listening to this, the same as it's in me, the same as it's in everyone. It's just whether you choose to realize that potential or not. And a lot of it, again, is, like I said, just putting down the fear, and you can do that by losing stake in the outcome. I mean, what do you care where this world goes or where your life goes, because you're only here for a breath, you're only here for the journey anyway, and it's over in the blink of an eye, and it's about what you do with it. Don't miss out on the possibilities of life has for you simply because you've got this little boxed view of what the finish line looks like. Because really you don't know. There's a whole bunch of different trails you could walk on that you may not even realize exist. But if you step out of your comfort zone and throw yourself to the wind a little bit, remarkable things can happen and remarkable change can come to the world if people do that. Because even by doing that, you're not complying with this system. You're not complying with the path that society wants to lay out for you. You're choosing your own. And that's an important thing. That's an important part of the lesson. And it's how we gain the lessons that we need by stepping onto this path and just allowing it to take us wherever it will lead us. Because very often you'll find that it's exactly where you're supposed to go. You just didn't know it because you didn't know that path was there. Because you never stepped out of your comfort zone. You never stepped off familiar territory and tried something new. You know, if people were to step out of their comfort zones and step into their spiritual power, we've got so much available to us at the moment, folks, that we could lead the world into an incredible place. I mean, even with all this cryptocurrency and everything that's happening, the cryptocurrency could be used for us to step outside of this fiat system completely. It could be something really good for us if we take control of the system itself and don't allow the system to take control of the cryptocurrency. Now, these are all sorts of possibilities that we have. Now, everything that they attempt to do to keep us back and to hold us down is something that can be used to our advantage if we're sensible about things and if we view every crisis as being an opportunity the way they do. Now, when they stage all these events, they're all opportunities for them to introduce more legislation and tougher rules and roll the police state out a little bit more. But they're also opportunities for us as well in all of this. You know, the situation that we're facing is an opportunity for us to step into our power. The 307 laws that have just been exposed in Australia as being complete breaches of fundamental human rights. This is a huge opportunity for the people of Australia to stand up and hold their government to account if they choose to do it. So all of these sorts of things are opportunities. Now, even the oncoming AI, it is a great opportunity for us to do something wonderful if we take control of the system before the AI is able to take control of the system. And again, this is going to take us adopting a correct spiritual perspective in order to do this. You know, we don't need to be enslaved by digits. We don't need to be enslaved by an economic system. And we don't need to pay for every aspect of our lives. We don't need to allow an AI to be constructed, which is based on an economic model. You know, but we have to take responsibility of that ourselves first in the real world, in order to transfer this understanding to the AI, because the AI is learning from us. And that's the important thing. And as I've mentioned very often lately, our main activity online is profit, porn, and narcissism, which doesn't really help things. Even with the cryptocurrencies, the way it's all being presented, it's all about profit. Get in now, make lots of profit, 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 profit. It's all about profit. It's all about self-gain, self-gratification. None of it is about healing the world. None of it's about healing this reality. None of it is about moving the human race forward in some way. It's all about making personal gain. And it's all personal gain in the digital world as well, folks. Never forget that. It's digital currency, which means it doesn't actually exist and can be switched off at any time. For example, any time there's a power failure, or perhaps any time they simply wish to lock you out of the system, which they'll be able to do if you have all of your life in the digital world and all your life controlled by the digital world, which is very much what they're trying to do. This is why they want to put everything on a cloud, folks. So that takes it even beyond the fact that it's in the digital world, because when it's on a cloud, it isn't even on your computer. It exists up on the cloud, and somebody else has control over everything which is yours in the virtual world. It's not even on your machine. It's stored somewhere else away from you, and you have to gain access to it. And you can only be online to get access to your own stuff. That's a very dangerous situation for people to be putting themselves in as well. Especially if you are someone who depends upon your digital personality to get by in the world. You really need to have control of that digital personality and control of all the applications you use and all the things that you do use in the virtual world. You need to have control of them and have all these things on your own machine, folks. You don't want to have them stored on a cloud because it's more convenient. Because it isn't more convenient for you, it's more convenient for those who control you, to have it out of your access and out of your control and stored somewhere where they get to control it and just let you think you're still the one who controls it because you have a password to that area. And that's the way they do it. But every password you have, folks, they have that password too, and they can get in and they can lock you out, which is why they want you to put it on the cloud. You know, it all leads to the ultimate nanny state and transferring that nanny state into the virtual world as well. And the nanny state, it's being foisted upon us in every conceivable manner you can think of. This is what the gender fluidity is all about in these schools as well. You know, basically teaching little boys that they want to be little girls and teaching little girls that they want to be little boys. And they call this gender fluidity and gender neutrality. They're trying to say that there are not just two genders anymore, and they won't even call little boys, or little girls in the classroom anymore, because this makes them too aware of their gender, and they want gender fluidity. This is basically child abuse. It's playing make-believe with kids, and you can play make-believe with kids and teach them to believe anything that you want them to believe. That's what children do. And this is child abuse. It's teaching children that they want to be something that they're not, way before they have any concept of sexuality, way before they have any concept of what it is you're even teaching them, and it is opening the doorway to transsexuality and pedophilia within the school system. It's absolutely disgraceful that politicians would be doing this, and it's absolutely mind-boggling that there would be sections of society that are going along with this. If your child is going to a school that is promoting gender fluidity, folks, take your children out of that school and put them into a responsible school, or homeschool them yourself. And if there's laws in place that say you can't homeschool your children when the education system is being turned into a pedophile playground the way it is, then I suggest that you take action against your politicians and hold them in abuse of office for daring to enact such corruption and daring to call it law. Because they're going to continue doing this until we push back, folks. And now it's coming to the children. It's really important that we do start pushing back. We stop being politically correct and we call these people out for what they are. I mean, this gender fluidity and gender neutral schooling that is being introduced is absolutely disgraceful. And it is almost the final nail in the coffin of society. It's all about depopulation, ladies and gentlemen, and it's about turning society into a bunch of weak-minded little sheep who will be ultimately dependent upon the nanny state for every single action that they perform, both in the real world and in the digital world. And we simply cannot allow things to continue in this way without taking the matter in hand and still call ourselves responsible human beings. You know, we're at a turning point, we're at a transitional point here, folks, and it's going to go in a very bad direction if we fail to take the matter in hand and take responsibility for this situation. But I think we've reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today in this free thought flow that we're having, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you know, the full armor that you can be standing in by having spiritual awareness is profound. You know, removing stake in the outcome and standing in your true power could change this system in a day. And every single person out there has the ability to do this. Every single man, woman, and child on earth has the power to do this. You know, everything about this system has been designed to remove that power from us and to prevent us from ever really standing up for ourselves, because it prevents us from ever knowing ourselves enough to want to do that, enough to believe in ourselves to be able to do that. But the release that you can get and the shifting of weight, the shifting of burden from your shoulders and the shifting of emotional burden from your shoulders you can get by simply standing up and standing in your power is absolutely profound. Yeah, but nothing about this system wants you to do that. Nothing about this system is designed to let you do that. Everything about it is designed to keep you down. The food they feed you, which poisons you, which keeps you locked into these lower vibrational levels. The stuff they feed you on the television, the stuff they feed you in the magazines, the hope that they give you that someone else is going to come along and save you all the time. You know, there's always someone on the border that's going to go in and bat for you. You never have to stand up yourselves. You sit there, don't rock the boat. Someone's coming to save you. A lot of the independent media even does this as well. There's so many forces out there, like I was saying in the first half of the show, that are now saying, oh, look, there's all this stuff going on behind the scenes. The white hats are in there battling for you. All this good stuff's going to happen, but you don't see any of it in the real world around you. You don't see anything changing on the street around you. You don't see the wars stopping. You don't see the chemtrails stopping. You don't see the Federal Reserve being audited or anything like this. You hear talk of it, but nothing ever really happens. And if we were to simply stand in our own power and refuse to comply with this system, refuse to comply with anything that causes us to step outside our moral compass, as I've said to you so many times, then we would change the world in a day. It's really that simple. And a lot of people listen to the show and they say, oh, look, here's Max. He's just blaming everyone else for the problems. I'm not blaming anyone for the problems. All I'm doing is attempting to suggest solutions to people. Because the solutions are very simple. The solutions are us standing up for ourselves. The problem is that people want solutions. They just don't want to have to do it themselves. They want someone else to stand up and implement it for them. But it's not going to happen. People simply have to stand up for themselves. That is the solution. The solutions are us refusing to comply with our own enslavement. Because that's what we do. We just comply with it all the time, mainly because we're divided. We're always fighting amongst each other. We don't respect each other. We don't respect our neighbors. And we respect authority where that authority has no place for that respect to exist, because the authority itself is fiction. You know, it's our belief in authority that causes all of these problems. You know, we've forgotten what government is. We've forgotten what our relationship with these people is. We've allowed them to teach us that they're our rulers. We've allowed them to take control of the education system and do all the disgraceful things that I was talking about in the latter half of the first half hour. You know, we've really allowed our social and educational and spiritual and moral situation to deteriorate to an incredible degree, all due to our failure to stand up for what is right. And it's time we did this, ladies and gentlemen. It's time we at least acknowledge the corruption and the things that our government is doing and realize that none of these things are benefiting society. Gender fluidity does not benefit society. Teaching children that they want to be something that they're not does not benefit society. Taking words out of the dictionary and replacing them with digital words to do with smartphones and Facebook is not benefiting society. If you're going to be adding new words related to the digital world into the dictionary, that's fine, add them, but leave the old words in there as well. Don't take words out of the language because you're just dumbing society down by not allowing them access to reality around them. Because they don't even know what the name of reality is. They're taking words out such as willow, acorn, things like this. Why would they be taking words like this out of the dictionary? What, are there no acorns anymore? Are there no willow trees anymore? Do children not need to know what these things are? You know, this is the sort of things that they're doing to our children, folks. This is the sort of miseducation that our children are being subject to. They're being led into this digital world and they're being taught that the digital world is all that matters, and the digital world is not the real world. It's a virtual world that is leading them away from what it means to be human and leading them into an AI nightmare. It really is. And none of this benefits society. None of this benefits our children. None of this contributes to human growth. None of it contributes to human spiritual evolution. None of it contributes to the evolution of society. All of it simply dumbs down society and puts them in more of a position where they can be controlled by government. I mean, taking words out of the language is not benefiting society. Waging all these wars all the time is not benefiting society. Bringing in digital systems and smart vehicles and everything they want to do is not benefiting society. It's all about the control system and it's all about AI control. That's where it's all going. But the thing is, it's only going that way because of the people who control it, because of this kakistocracy that currently holds the reins of power. You know, all of the stuff that we're creating, all of this technology could be a huge benefit to us. It could be something that would lead us to a wonderful place. And we have every potential for this to happen right now if we can step into our spiritual power. That really is the key to the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen. And it's been my message since day one. I've been talking about this. I know I've gone off on a lot of tangents over the years. I know the shows have gotten a little bit more desperate over the last few years because the situation that we're in has gotten a little bit more desperate. You know, a lot of people want me to bring positive, uplifting, empowering shows to them every week, and I try to bring in stuff that is uplifting and empowering, but I cannot ignore the problem. I can't sit here and just pretend the world is all suddenly going to turn to roses when it's not. Not without our participation. It's really important that people see the problems and put down the fear of these issues, put down the fear of addressing these issues. You know, I can look at all the problems and all the negative stuff that's going on in the world, but it's not bringing you negative information. To me, it's bringing you positive information. To me, it's positive to be aware of this negativity. It's a positive thing because once you're aware of it, you can address it because it's so easy to address it simply by remembering what we are. You know, people out there can just stand up to this very, very simply if they have this spiritual understanding and if they're willing to put down the barriers that they have with the people around them and realize that all of these barriers are fictional. You know, like I keep saying, it doesn't matter what other people believe. It doesn't matter if someone has a different belief system to you. We're still facing the same problem. We're still facing the same situation. And whatever people are arguing about, whatever belief systems they've got, whatever rabbit holes they're down, all these mysteries only exist because they are not free to begin with, and all these doorways are closed to them. And if we were to establish freedom, all of these doorways would be open. And I've said this to you a million times as well, because it's true. That's why it's so important for people to put down their differences and stop arguing and all turn and address this situation together. And we do that, we can change the world very, very quickly. And I know I keep repeating myself, but it's true, folks. And really, I can't see another way out. Now, there isn't anybody you can vote in or vote out. It doesn't matter if they're arresting the entire deep state. Who are they going to put in the place of these people? And like I said, the police are still there. The militarized police are still there. The wars are still being fought. Israel is still in control of the US political system and in control of most political systems around the world. The internet is still being locked down and being censored. There's algorithms coming out all over Facebook and Google. AI is still coming online. Nothing is changing. It doesn't matter who's arrested. What matters is what we do and how we apply ourselves to this situation. And that can only really have any major effect if we change the way we apply ourselves to the people around us. And put down all these arguments and put down all this division and respect each other and stand together. Too many gurus in the independent media, or people wanting to be gurus, too many people wanting to be leaders and not allowing people to lead themselves, at least not encouraging people to lead themselves. And that's what we need. We need a huge wave of consciousness, a worldwide epiphany is what we need. But still, even now with this epiphany still awaiting to happen, there's many things we can do to rock the boat. Things like the Empower Movement. Like I said, it's made a huge impact here in Hawaii. And there's no reason this can't be used for other things. And at least it rocks the boat. At least it puts a spanner in the works. And at least it empowers people into wanting to stand up for themselves and make a little bit of change. And it's a good thing because they get positive results from it, and it inspires them to want to stand up a little bit further. And like I've said previously, there's no reason why this liability notice can't be used for other things as well. There's no reason why this liability notice can't be used to deal with these 307 illegal so-called laws that have been enacted in Australia, if people simply apply themselves to the situation. I mean, anything you can do to rock the boat and to stand up for yourselves and to point out to the politicians the fact that we're up to their game, we know what they're up to, we can see it all now, and we're not taking it anymore, and we're going to start pushing back. Anything you can do that is a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. And it doesn't have to be violent, doesn't have to be confrontational. All you have to do is stand in your spiritual power, know who and what you are, and stand up for yourself. And no one can defeat you in the face of that. No politician or legal system can stand against a man or woman who stands in their flesh and knows who and what they are and what this fictional system they're dealing with is. You know, if you simply stand up for your honest, God-given place in this world, there's nothing they can do to hold you back, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to gain the confidence to do it. And that's what I try to do with these radio shows. That's what I've tried to do right since the very beginning, is instill that type of confidence into people, because that is where the change is going to come from. You know, don't think you're a little person, and don't think that you can't make change. Don't ever think that you're not something valuable. And don't ever think that you can't have the idea that will change the world. Every idea that represses us now is just an idea that was born in the mind of someone. And we all have these ideas. And once they take off, they can be world-changing, as they have been previously. There's nothing to prevent you from being the one that has one of these ideas and puts it into motion. Nothing at all. Nothing except your lack of belief in yourself, which is unfortunately the state of many people. But they know it's there. They know it's dormant within them. They know this power exists. It's just gaining the confidence to step into it. But it's there, folks, and you can step into it, and it is such a healing thing to do. And if we can all step into that, then we're going to bring some real healing to this world. And that's what the world needs more than anything. That's what the human condition needs more than anything. It needs healing. It doesn't need fighting. It doesn't need war. It doesn't need confrontation. It doesn't need anything like that. It doesn't need revenge. It needs healing. You know, we don't even need to take revenge against this cacistocracy for what they've done. Just bringing awareness of what they've done to the world is going to be punishment enough for them. You know, once we free ourselves from this system and we stand up for who and what we are, and they are laid naked before the world for all eyes to see, And that is going to be enough punishment for anyone. I don't want any worse for than that for them. I don't want bad stuff for anybody. There's no way to bring healing to any situation by wishing bad things on people. You know, I don't want these people to suffer any cruel fate. I just want them to go away and stop messing with the rest of the world. But it's up to us to make that happen. And we have to identify what the problem is and identify what these people are doing and identify the power that exists within us to bring this change about. Because we can do it. And we're at a very, very important time now where I believe we have every opportunity to make that happen very, very quickly if we can just gain some focus. It's been the lack of focus that has kept us here, folks, and there's so much effort undertaken to make sure humanity is kept out of focus, make sure people are kept confused, running around chasing their tails. The fluoride in the water, the fluoride in the food, all the stuff that they give us which bends our minds, all the stuff that they give us on the television as well, which bends people's minds and skews their perception of what reality is. And many people are so much in search of their life's path that they forget that they're already on their life's path to a degree anyway. I mean, all the things that I did in my early life I thought were completely meaningless and unrelated, and yet all along the way I managed to pick up all the skills that I needed to do all the things that I'm doing now. You know, sometimes the path that you're on doesn't seem like it's the path you're supposed to be on, but sometimes there's a skill in there that you need. There's some benefit you got from being in that path, some understanding that you got, some new knowledge that you gained. It's just that sometimes these paths turn into a little bit of a comfort zone and people are afraid to step off them. But you can step off that path and onto something new. There's a whole world out there and there's a whole world of things to do, which may not be anything like what you expected, like this path that I'm on now, doing these radio shows and making films. This is nothing that I ever planned, nothing that I could ever have foreseen myself doing in the future. It was simply a matter of following synchronicities, following my heart in certain places, and sometimes it didn't work out. I mean, I lived in a homeless shelter 12 years ago. I was living in a homeless shelter in Bundaberg, mopping floors to pay for having a roof over my head every night. So we can reach rock bottom sometimes, but it's what you do with that information, it's what you do with that experience that matters. When I was there in that homeless shelter, I wasn't depressed about it, I was simply observing the chapter of my life that I was living at the time. I find it quite remarkable that I would find myself in such a position, but it certainly wasn't the end of things. I mean, most especially because when you're that far down the food chain, you're that far down, you're that far on rock bottom, there's nowhere else to fall, really. There's no further to go unless you go and commit a crime and get locked in jail or something, and I wasn't likely to do that. But really, when I look back on it, it was a moment of huge freedom for me because I'd removed all the trappings of my existence from me, well, they'd been removed from me, and I was in a position where I was absolutely free to do anything I wanted to do with absolutely nothing to hold me back, no ties, nothing, and nothing to lean on as well. All I had was my own 2 feet, my own 2 hands, the brain in my head, and the clothes on my back. That's all I had left. And all I did from that point was excel, because what other direction did I have to go? And it wasn't that anything came along, wasn't that any gifts came to me, wasn't that I had any type of financial injection or anything like that. It was my attitude. My attitude was what got me out of that position, and my attitude is what brought me to where I am today. And it's very easy to do, folks. It's just realizing that it's all part of the ride. It's all part of the journey. Whatever position you're in, if it's a really dark place, it's simply the chapter that you're going through at the moment. And there's stuff in there that you need to learn, otherwise you wouldn't be going through it. And that may seem a little hard and a little harsh on people. But there is stuff in there. Don't ever see yourself as a victim. You can always step away from the position that you're in. There's no position that is too drastic for you to be able to step away from, like I said, unless you've been locked up in jail by someone or something. But even if that's happened, well, you're going to get out at some stage and you can go from there. But if you're out there in the real world and you have freedom of movement, then there is nothing that can stop you doing anything you want to do if you have the right attitude. And again, that may seem strange to people, but remember, this is coming from someone who lived in a homeless shelter 12 years ago, and when I was a teenager, I used to live in a storm drain and have to steal my breakfast every morning. So it doesn't matter how far down you have been or how far down you are, there's always a way of climbing back up. And it's all in the attitude that you have regarding your situation. You know, life is a mirror. Life is an emotional mirror. And very often when we get in positions that things are going really bad for us and we freak out about it, what the universe does is it gives us a little more. Because we haven't learned how to deal with that situation. We haven't learned the lesson in it. We haven't seen the gift of what this crisis is offering us. Because there's a gift in all crisis. There is opportunity in all crisis. Look at the Chinese word for crisis and opportunity are actually interchangeable. It's the same word, depending on where you put it in the sentence. Because there is opportunity in all crisis. You know, and the universe will do that. If something happens to you and you freak out about it, it will say, oh, really? You don't like that? Well, have a little bit more. Are you getting it yet? Do you understand now? Do you understand the gift that has been given to you by giving you the opportunity to let go of this emotion, to let go of this response that you've locked yourself into? You know, very often we go through lives as our own worst enemy. I did this for myself for many years, folks. My life was a train wreck the first half of my life. It really was. I mean, I was always awake to the fact that there was something terribly wrong, but I didn't know what to do about it. I just thought I was a misfit. I really did. I thought that there was something wrong with me because I couldn't have this mindless, mundane conversation that other people seemed to enjoy. There wasn't anything wrong with them. They were all really nice people, but they just seemed to enjoy talking about this completely meaningless drivel. And I used to envy people their ability to be able to do that, to be able to sit there and talk about nothing and be quite fine with it. And I couldn't do that. And so I beat myself up over it for years, and I was my own worst enemy because of the emotional mirror that I was creating. Because reality is an emotional mirror. Now, when you can see that crisis contains opportunity, and when you can see the positive way out, it's like when I was rock bottom. There was nowhere else for me to go. I mean, it was an incredibly freeing moment, an incredibly liberating time of my life. There, with absolutely nothing to do every day, there was nothing, nowhere I needed to be, there was no responsibilities I had. The only responsibility I had was to try to put a roof over my head every night and to mop the floors so I could keep that roof. And I would leave the shelter every day and I would go out into the world and I would just see what would happen and I would see who I would meet. And I was completely open to all opportunities and all pathways and anything that the universe was going to throw at me. So I just went with the flow. I threw myself to the wind and found that I could ride it. And everybody can do that. It may sound strange and it may sound confrontational. It may sound challenging, but everybody can do it. I really believe that people can do it if they have faith in themselves. Now, so much of this society is designed to destroy what faith we have in ourselves and to teach us that we're not worth anything and that we need the nanny state to look after us. But we don't. It's our own path, and we can find that path ourselves if we choose to step off the one that we're on now. I'm not saying quit your job and throw yourself to the wind and let your life turn to chaos. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not saying that if you're in a good place, you should stop that and just stop what you're doing. I'm just attempting to help people find a way of putting down this fear they seem to have and this fear of their surroundings. I mean, a lot of people's surroundings are pretty bad. I must admit, there's a lot of people out there in pretty bad positions. But again, if they had the support of the people around them, they wouldn't be in this position. You know, and so much of this society is designed to remove that support by putting up these barriers between people. We always have these barriers. We always have opinions, and we don't value the opinions of others. We see the opinions of others as being something confrontational to us, and we fight and we argue and we try to push our point home with people. Why don't we just discuss things? That's the problem. There's no more discussion anymore. There's no more discussion of facts. People lock themselves into an idea. They lock themselves into a belief system. And then they try to push it on others and they fight with them and they argue about it. They don't discuss things. And that's what we need. We need discussion. We need to have open minds discussing things and finding a way out of this mess. You know, but if we don't respect each other, we're never going to do that. We're never going to be able to talk about anything. And so we're never going to find any real solutions to our problems. And it's all very well for people out there listening to the show and people listening to other shows to want someone in the independent media to simply come along and give you the template to lead you to safety, but it's not going to happen. I mean, nobody knows what freedom looks like. We've never had freedom. And we're in a position now where we could gain some freedom. I really think we're at a hugely opportunistic time in the human experience. I really do. I think we've got so much available to us to create a good world at the moment, and we've got so much of the workings of the system laid bare. We really have. And there's so many people that are getting the message now. People in government, people in the military, people in the police even are getting the message. There's a lot of people that know that the world is run by a criminal kakistocracy and that they don't have a position in it as well. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're working for the system and kicking the butts of the population for the government. Eventually, they're going to be discarded as well. They know that they're not up at the top of the food chain. They don't matter. They're just the hired muscle that is being used to clean up everybody else. So they can see this, and they can see the way things are going, and there's a lot of the forces out there, a lot of the alphabet agencies and people and police and military, a lot of these people do not want to support the 1% anymore. They want to support the 99%, but the 99% is so headstrong and caught up with fighting and arguing with each other and promoting distrust about each other. It's just ridiculous. I mean, how can they ever hope to stand up against the government themselves if they don't have the support of the people? And they may have the support of the people in as much as everybody wants change. But if the people are so disunited that they can't help be that change themselves, then what is the point of anybody in the military or the political arena or any particular field of authority, what is the point of any of these people standing up and attempting to make their voice heard and make some positive change while the population is still in this incredibly divided and disunited state? We have to get over this hump, ladies and gentlemen, which is why we have to allow ourselves to think differently and believe different things and have different ideas. It doesn't matter. It's all irrelevant at the moment. What's relevant is freeing ourselves from this system and opening up all these doorways and putting all these mysteries to rest once and for all. Now, we have a real opportunity to do that now. Again, if we can just get some focus. And that's been the point of the shows the whole time, folks, is to attempt to help people get this focus. You know, everything I've done ever since I started these shows has been about trying to help people gain this focus, trying to help people rediscover what they are and what their relationship to government is and who the people in government are. I mean, they're just people just like you. They don't really mean anything. They don't really have any authority, folks. Authority is just an idea that is put into us via the scholastic system. You know, and we're taught to respect authority no matter what it is. Respect the police no matter what they do. You must obey them no matter what they say. It's ridiculous. You know, these laws they bring in, this gender neutrality they're bringing in schools. I mean, this is obviously the result of a former mental health minister of Queensland having mental health problems and wishing to inflict them upon the rest of the world. I mean, the woman that is doing this obviously has severe mental health problems and some sort of weird sexual repression going on in her own mind, and so much that she needs to inflict it upon the rest of society, and hopefully it will be some sort of a wake-up call for the rest of society to see just how bad this system has got and just how much we need to start paying attention to what is happening. And be aware, if you're someone living in Australia, that this is happening in Australian schools. They're teaching sexual education, how to safely insert things into their various orifices at 6 years old in primary schools in Australia, and the students are being taught not to tell their parents about it if it is happening. This is being presented under the guise of safe schools, when really it's not. What it is the result of a deranged government which is promoting rampant pedophilia in the school system, a government that is in abuse of office, a government that needs to be immediately sacked and all the politicians held accountable for their actions. That's really what it is, folks. And this is happening in schools in Australia now, so pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, and start looking into your kids' education, because no one's going to look after your children if you're not prepared to do it yourself. And we certainly cannot allow the government to overstep the mark the way it has done on this issue. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and the act they're rolling out now is not an act that is going to benefit humankind in any way, any shape, or any form. Well, we are at that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where we have reached the end of the show. I'm not going to be able to bring you a show next week because I'm going to be traveling back to Peru, but after that I will be back in Peru until at least mid-February. And I'll be able to bring you regular shows every week while I'm there, so that's going to be a bit of a bonus. Again, I am speaking at Anacapulco next year in February. If you'd like to get a ticket to that, you'll find a link on the Crow House. You can use the coupon, the Crow House, and you'll get a discount on that ticket. Thank you to all those who continue to support the website. And a very special thank you to my wonderful Patreon supporters. You are the ones who actually keep the show on the air. You are the only ones who keep this going, folks, so I cannot thank you enough for that. And for anyone who can make a contribution to the Patreon account, you'll find a link on the Crow House and you'll find a link under the YouTube version of this radio show as well. That is it for me now, folks. I'm completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again the week after next. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In luck, Keshe.